Welcome to Front Row Geeks Podcast, Episode 5. The fifth episode is here now, and we're going to close the year with 5 episodes, which I wanted to do a couple more. Actually, I have 2 more recorded after this, but I'm not going to get them out before the new year starts, so you can expect two already episodes ready to go for the new year. But we're going to close out 2014 with 5 episodes, which is good. 5 more than what we started with, right? So we're going there. We're, at this point, now that we've got some momentum going, we're looking to have at least three a month. It's going to be a little harder in the next few weeks to get that, you know, as far as the schedule goes, but looking at least three a month from here on in, which is good for you guys. You get to hear more of us, more of the interviews, and we've got some pretty interesting people on the lineup, so I'm looking forward to recording those for you all so you can listen and enjoy the podcast. This week's episode, just the guys talking this time. We go over some of the stuff we've been doing for Christmas. Oh, by the way, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone listening. So we go over what we're doing, talk some geek stuff about what we've been watching and listening and doing last month, and basically just preparing for what you can expect. This episode introduces Casey and Josh, so the last two unheard hosts in the podcast, so you can expect to hear them a little more from here on in. And now after this episode, you've heard everyone on the crew. So expect to hear more from us. And we welcome to the podcast. So everyone listening, hope you enjoy this episode. It was a lot of fun to record. And again, stay tuned early next year for more episodes and 3 a month. That's the goal, 3 a month for 2015. Of course, besides the podcast, don't forget to tune in to our Twitch channel with David. Twitch.com, just look Front Row Geeks. And that's what we have for now. And again, next year, hopefully new network content besides the podcast and the Twitch channel. So look forward to that. And we begin with episode 5 with us talking. Hostful. I need to see if that word's copyrighted. I got that from another podcast. But hostful, I'm going to use it for now and pay the royalties later. Enjoy.
Welcome to Front Row Geeks.
That's whole.
And talking to me. My bad. He's talking to you, obviously. It's not all about me. I didn't know that. I thought it was all about me. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I mean, this is only my microphone and my computer, but your house.
That's correct.
I'll respect that. Okay. So how was Christmas, guys?
Dude, it was awesome. I don't know. What are we supposed to
take
turns?
I spent half the day sick on the couch.
What?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you if you got affected by any of the stuff going on yesterday, the hacking.
The hacking?
Okay, when I tried, I wasn't going to actually watch the interview on Xbox. I was going to download it. But once I started downloading it, it's like all the internet
you're
services.
You're talking about Lab getting hacked. I thought you were talking about me getting hacked. Okay,
not you personally, but the services.
Nobody hacks me.
But did you get hacked?
I basically dreamed that you were like playing, you know, Shadow of Mordor or Destiny.
Oh, you dreamed about me?
All the time. And then you couldn't get on it because of all the hacks. So did you actually, but you were sick.
I was actually watching a movie on my Plex server that was streaming from Casey's library that decided it wanted to stop playing an hour into a 2 hour long movie.
Oh, internet.
I'm sorry. So it's just, and then you're okay? You're okay? Do you want to talk about it? How sick you were?
No, I'm good.
What'd you do, Josh?
I had a lot of parties that I went to. I went over to my aunt and uncle's house. Big family party over there. A whole bunch of us got together. But interesting thing, I know Eddie wanted me to talk about it earlier.
Oh, yes. This is a good story.
Here's the kids.
They didn't make it this far. I don't have to say their names or their identities.
Or the social security numbers.
Yeah.
But Sony may have his email.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, so I was driving home, and I live on Pantano, right? So I'm driving down Golf Links. I'm going about 50 miles an hour down Golf Links. Nobody there. Open road. It's 40-mile-an-hour speed limit, by the way, for people who don't know. So I'm going doing 10 over. I'm driving along. I look up in my rearview mirror, and I see behind me 12 cops. Just all in rows, just following me, doing 50 miles an hour. I nearly shit myself. I was just like, oh my God. It was bad.
So what was your fine?
I moved over, I went on, and the cops just carried on down Golf Links doing 50 miles an hour.
Wow.
I was followed by 12 cops yesterday.
Nice.
Just driving down Golf Links, doing 50 miles an hour down Golf Links, but boom, cops.
Speed van's been pretty bad on Golf Links lately.
Oh, yeah.
I always see them.
Speaking of which, have y'all messed with the app Waze yet?
Waze?
Yeah.
No, what? No.
Waze is epic. It's a navigation app.
Oh.
But it's free, right? And it all runs off of user data. So you got all these people called Wazers driving around. Works really well.
It's awesome. You use quote marks.
Wazers. So it works really good in high population areas because you got all these Wazers driving around and they see a cop and they just push the button on their phone and it marks it on the app. So now you're
Josh.
Wazer number two coming down the road. The application goes, cop detected ahead. You know, and nice. The cop's there. We drove all the way to Phoenix and back. And although it did a couple of times report cops that weren't there, it never didn't report a cop that was there.
Ooh.
All the way to Phoenix and back.
That's awesome.
And it reported, you know, road hazards, vehicles on the side of the road, speed traps. Not to mention, since it's tracking all of your data and you have to agree to it, but it's tracking the flow of traffic. So when you look at your route, it actually intelligently plans your route based on live traffic reports from all the Wazers that are out there.
That's pretty awesome.
Is there enough users in Tucson that the data is like...
It works great in Tucson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I left here. I got a buddy of mine that's from this area. And we left base at the same time and we were going to Macayos, right? We were going to Macayos and he said, I'll beat you there. And I said, no, you won't. And Waze was guiding me, and it was looking at the red lights and the traffic and everything else. And he's local, oh, wow. And I'm not. And I beat him there by like 10 minutes.
No way.
From here, yeah. No joke.
Dude, we need to test.
I know, right? Okay. We need to test this.
Because Josh used to work for the yeah. So and every time we get in the car, he just like, oh, I'm human GPS. I know where I'm going. Just go this way.
Yeah.
I just trust him. We need to test that against
literally,
you.
Because I got across town in like 35 minutes one time.
It took me about 35 minutes just to pick you up.
Yeah, I know.
One road. Broadway, I'm just going to keep going.
That's Tucson for you. You just drive and drive and drive. You know, going, because I've bounced around the country recently. I've been to Georgia, Illinois, all that stuff. Tucson is so freaking massive. It's hard, like... Because I've been to Warner Robins.
I've never heard anyone call Tucson
city of like
massive.
30,000 people.
When you look at it on the map, it looks like a massive neighborhood the way the roads are laid out. There's no circle. There's like no circle route around it. You know, or anything. It's just like you're trapped in some giant suburbia. You know, so.
That's Tucson.
My hometown has one red light. It doesn't really work all that well. So
I live in Hot Springs, South Dakota.
Well, if they quit shooting at it, Lexington,
5,000 people live in that town.
Tucson, just only Tucson.
They have a school. They have an elementary school or middle school or high school. They have a school. It's just
we won't talk about
to
the
school.
It can't be that bad. We're 48th in the nation here. Overall,
I'm from Mississippi.
You're worse than there. You're one of the two that's worse.
One of the two states that's worse. Mississippi.
I actually don't know. Is rank lower than us? Bad. Wow,
yes,
I thought 48
yes,
was better.
I can't remember what
movie. The worst state? Is it Mississippi or
probably,
is it?
I think it's Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi. But then what's the second worst state?
I don't know.
Only you got to.
I can't remember.
It used to be us. Then
we
used to be 49. I think we moved up to
49. Yeah, we used to be 49. Well, thanks to the Vail School District.
That's probably all it took to get us to 48.
Hold on, I'm looking this up now.
Oh no, someone died.
There's
in the background.
It's an emergency.
Cheats,
okay, no one confessed to anything. Okay.
Nose goes. I didn't do it.
It's not like this is being recorded or anything. We don't have to worry about it.
Mississippi's so bad, though. I can't remember what movie it was in. It was some military movie. But,
Top Gun?
No. The
statement
was made.
That's not taking place in Mississippi.
He said, "You're my Mississippi." And the other guy was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You're the one guy that keeps me from being last in everything." And being from Mississippi, I laughed at it. It's hilarious.
Oh, that is beautiful. I mean, I'm sorry it has to be Mississippi, but actually it'd be funny if almost any state. Just to be able to know that information and use it like that. Yeah. That's brilliant.
I think the guy making the statement.
Why isn't there just a Wikipedia article about this? I have to go to freaking Huffington Post.
To find out what's the most
uneducated
state.
These are the states with the best and worst school systems according to new rankings. Top scorers were New Jersey, Massachusetts, Vermont.
Wait, New Jersey's Kansas. Top scorer?
Kansas. That's not fair. That is a skewed statistic. Because there's only like 10 people that live in the whole state.
My family.
I drove all the way from one end of Kansas to the other.
The site dubbed the areas with the worst school systems as Nevada, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, and lastly, the District of Columbia.
Oh, wait,
so Arizona's not even in the last states
anymore. Yeah, we did good somewhere.
Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi are... Scroll over each state to see its ranking. I don't want to see its ranking.
I think we're good.
But I'm guessing...
I'm just happy to know it isn't Arizona.
I'm guessing Mississippi is last and Alabama second to last.
Yep.
But, you know, driving through Louisiana, I'm pretty sure Louisiana is pretty terrible.
You know, your story about Kansas is the same story he told me like a few months ago, that it was just terrible.
Oh, yeah. Kansas is awful. It's just...
They were saying Kansas had good school ratings.
outside of Kansas City, there's just nothing in Kansas. Yes. You just drive through.
There's not even anything for birds to land on. Yeah. They just fly until they get exhausted right. And die.
I drove here from Illinois, and as I'm going through Kansas, there was literally five cars, one of them a cop, and when we're driving through Kansas doing 110 because a bunch of storms are chasing us all through Kansas. As soon as we got into Oklahoma, they were gone.
It's like a bad omen.
No storms. Yeah, literally the only weather that I encountered on my way from Illinois to Arizona was in Kansas, and that's it.
Where in Illinois?
Rockford.
So we need to do some introductions, right?
Oh, yeah. In front of me is Heffley. Josh. Oh, I know it's Heffley. I'm always going to call you Heffley. It's Josh.
Yes, it's Josh.
But I call him
Heffley.
Assuming
that's his
but
last
Heffley,
name.
Yes.
So now everybody knows his first and last name.
Yeah, thank you.
And
would you like my social security number?
I know it.
No, you don't.
Not by heart, but I can get to it in like 10
no,
minutes.
No, you can't.
Did he do
yeah,
his
I can
taxes?
Drive. I can drive and go get... Yeah, I do his taxes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Son of a bitch. He knows. But anyway,
and
I'm Josh.
To my right.
It's Casey.
Hello, Casey.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's
what's
his
your last name, Casey?
Stuber.
Okay.
I don't know his social. Unless you want to do taxes with me this year, then I can know your social. I do really good. Ask him.
No,
yes.
I believe that.
He gets me the most money.
I'm a tax slayer kind of fellow, though.
I know.
So.
Not offended at all. What'd you do for Christmas?
I just sat at home and took a break. Me and the fam and the kids. The kids had a pretty good Christmas, but we didn't really do much. We made dinner and... Did kind of the family sit at home, watch the Christmas Story type thing, you know? So,
oh, they like the movie Christmas
movie.
Story.
Yeah.
I only watched that in high school.
What?
When Miss Cass,
it's on marathon literally.
I know
all the time.
But I'm a Hulu guy now. I watch everything Hulu on Netflix, so I have to actually physically go to a Christmas Story to actually watch it.
Oh my gosh, it doesn't matter. It's still there. I think it is on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't watch.
Okay, no. Seriously, it was like midnight at like after Christmas. I went to Christmas Mass at midnight. So I got home and I was like really tired, but I didn't feel sleepy, and I watched Christmas specials like for 2 hours. I watched the Garfield Christmas special from like 1987, and I watched A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Dude,
and then
the
I
best,
went to bed.
The best Christmas, the best Christmas movie.
The Christmas Carol,
the Muppet Christmas Carol.
It was. I hadn't
it
seen
was
in
the
years.
Best.
I know I'm going to say this in front of you guys, but I might have cried a little bit while I was watching the movie. It happened. It was just...
because
screw
it. So
it was Michael Caine. By the way, I didn't realize that was Michael Caine until like I rewatched it. And because I've only known Michael Caine since like the Batman movies.
Okay.
And then I've been following it from there.
Did you realize that it was Kermit the Frog?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the green threw me off for a bit, but when I knew it was Kermit the Frog, I was amazed. So yeah, that's basically all I did. Well, the other thing I did for Christmas is spend as much time as I could playing Dragon Age Inquisition.
Nice.
Because I was just... I'm an hour 80, and I'm not even close to being done yet.
How is it?
I'm an hour 80. It's great. It's just...
I don't want to buy it.
It's going to consume a lot of your time.
I have to play the first Dragon Age.
I have it on PC.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I don't like games where I have to think about them. I like my stupid games where I can just sit
like
there
game
and
play
the
game.
I like a story.
No, it's not a movie. I play games like you know, Call of Duty and stuff like that. But you don't have to do much thinking to play Call of Duty.
But you see, but that's the kind of game I don't like. I like my games to make me think and tell me a good story. That's what I play games for. So 80-hour game is great. And to know that I still have another 30 hours in this one playthrough, not including the other playthroughs I'm inevitably going to do, it's fantastic. I am elated.
So it's like me and Casey now. He comes over about twice a week. We drink a little whiskey, and we're playing through the entire Halo storyline on Legendary. You know, talk about a great story. That's a video game with a great story.
It is.
And
you got the anniversary thing, right?
Yeah, the Master Chief Collection. And Legendary is still as hard as it always was.
Yeah.
We booted up. Now, I don't think you were with me for Halo 1, were you?
No, but I've had that.
You've played it, right? But I beat Halo 1, and then we tried to jump right in at Halo 2, starting out on Legendary.
Yeah.
And we made it through, what, like the first 20 minutes of the game? And we were like, screw this. We're going to Halo 4, where we have equipment and jetpacks, and we can sprint.
It's hard to take Master Chief back to the farm once you have like some of the cooler stuff from Halo 3.
Dude, Halo 2 is awesome. I miss Halo 2.
It
I used to play
so
that
hard.
All the time.
Halo 2 and Legendary, if one of you dies,
you're
both done.
You're done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the rest of them, you can say, okay, this is a hard part. I'm going to go out here and do this. You stay back so I can portal back to you.
Yeah.
You know? No, can't do that shit in Halo 2.
I co-op that with a godbrother of mine like years ago, and I remember it took us the week that I visited him in like Vegas, half the week was spent trying to go through Halo 2. I'm in Las Vegas, and what I'm doing is I'm playing Halo 2 with my like 10-year-old godbrother, because we got to do this. No, damn it, I'm going to start over, okay.
You know, I'm actually surprised. I played the storyline of the most recent Call of Duty. I'm actually pretty surprised with that storyline. It's actually pretty good.
I have a hard time on it.
It's... Yeah.
And I can't get into it.
It's
fast. It's really fast.
Yeah.
You know,
The last thing Call of Duty needed was more mobility. And they gave it more mobility.
Yeah, like, here's jetpacks.
And it's like, now you can just, you know, fly around and do all this random shit.
All it needs to complete the overbearing Call of Duty-ness is the parkour kit from Titanfall.
pretty much. Seriously. Yeah.
Can we get Kevin Spacey to do a
Western? Oh, no, they do that. They do that. You, like, jump at a ledge, and if you miss the ledge, you're somehow on the ledge now. That happens all the time. And then you die, and then you spawn climbing over the same ledge in front of the enemy who just killed you.
I didn't really die.
That's the new Call of Duty.
It's so quick. There's so little time between, like, iteration to iteration of these first-person shooters are out. So I'm kind of like... on the same wavelength that you are. I like a game, you know, I can immerse myself in and not... Like, I'm a turn-based strategy guy, too. So, like...
You and I are going to get along just fine.
Oh, yeah. It's so quick, and I don't like to depend on my fellow man for a good gaming experience, you know? Especially, you know, who wants to go on Xbox Live and, you know, talk about somebody's mother with a 12-year-old?
Yeah, that's what this is.
You can't use my line on the podcast.
I can if I make an example.
You know, the only time I've been doing that lately where I'm trying to get that experience is I like the Borderlands games.
Oh, I love the Borderlands games.
And, that's like, it's the only first-person shooter I'm really playing now. Not having against first-person shooters.
Destiny?
I have.
Destiny is pretty good.
But look, it's all co-op. I don't have a kind of thing because when I get to play... Isn't it? The thing is co-op. That's like telling me that MMOs aren't, like World of Warcraft isn't co-op.
No, you're confusing co-op with massive multiplayer online.
Yeah.
There's a difference. You don't need a buddy to play the game.
No, but it is for Destiny. It's
the full experience is playing with other people. Stuff like that. Not in the room.
But you
don't
have to know other people. No. They're in the game
already. No, the full experience is sitting in that one room or that one area and kicking a soccer ball back and forth at each other.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The full experience of Destiny. But it's not going on missions with other people because you can do that on yourself. By yourself.
That's kind of what I like about Borderlands. That I, if I feel like it, this mission that I can do with someone else, and I get the full experience, and I can still get mostly the full experience of playing myself.
You know what they need to do? You know what they need to make co-op? Freaking an Elder Scrolls game.
No doubt. But they tried co-op. To do that with ESO.
But that's
but it
terrible.
Sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
You
no,
know, and,
you
and
want
now they're bringing the console.
No.
Elder
Fallout.
Scrolls game.
Yeah, Fallout online. Fallout. Oh, I would kill for that.
Elder Scrolls is
well,
so much
that would just be
Fallout.
The walking. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not. No, I think they're just as good. The only thing is that Fallout for me is just. It talks to me something.
I
like,
love
right,
Fallout
I don't know what
3.
It is about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like the, you know, the old
not even
they
New
play
Vegas.
Or...
Just Fallout 3. I'm good with Fallout 3.
I like
I
New
play
Vegas.
Fallout 3.
New Vegas is my favorite part.
New Vegas
so
is okay,
far.
But.
What? It was
Fallout,
the best for me.
Fallout 3 is better.
I've replayed that hundreds of times already.
Yeah.
And I have yet to finish Skyrim.
So do you guys know...
you're joking. Skyrim is amazing.
I have nothing against Skyrim. I actually love it. There's something wrong. There's a wall.
You can play Skyrim for like 80 hours and still not finish Skyrim.
You know
you could just
that.
Not do
like,
the main quest.
The big pain in the ass thing with Skyrim is when you're running around doing your own thing and a dragon comes out of the sky, right? Like when you're low level.
That sounds
it
great.
It pisses me off, right? Oh. I don't want to deal with
great.
The dragon at this
it's
level.
Like, but
at
some
point,
you dragon, what are you doing
at
here?
Some
point,
get out
of
here.
Once you've done enough side quests and stuff and you've been around the world enough, you can one-shot a dragon at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I got so powerful one time I shot the dragon and I one hit him in the air and he like got all confused and had to find somewhere to land so he could die because the game has nothing programmed into it so he can die in the air.
You mean he can't just like fall in the sky and like crush a house?
No, like, this is one of those times where you find this cool little trick where you can make your character so overpowered and
yeah,
it was something
yeah.
between the alchemy and the
enchanting yeah.
and back and forth and my guy got really overpowered. So then I was one-shotting dragons. I was like, this is epic. I'm just one-shotting everybody. And then I get to this mission where I have to infiltrate a party, right? To infiltrate this party, I had to remove all my armor and stuff and put on this cloak or whatever so that I fit in with the party.
I hate those missions.
I'm like, okay, whatever. So I just dropped all my gear, and as soon as I came out of the menu, my character fell over dead. Like, what the hell? The game respawned, and I came back and did it again. So I found out that every time I took my gear off, I died. And it was because that buff.
You sound like Mr. Freeze.
That hack that I had done, it's not really a hack. I just manipulated the game based off of some asshole on YouTube that told me to do it. You know, and my stats went up so high that they went negative. So when I took my gear off, I actually hit zero life and the game triggered a death, so I died. So that entire character was wasted.
You throw it away over here in the trash can.
I'm so sorry.
That's pissed
great.
Me off.
That's pretty amazing.
That was the last time I tried to cheat Skyrim. You know, just play it the way the game's meant to be played.
I ended up getting a sword that did like 580 damage or whatever with a single hit.
Yeah.
Dude, you just walk around. You're just like, you can walk around with no armor. If they don't kill you instantly, they're dead. You
so,
because it's just
cool fact about Skyrim. You know when you come out of the dungeons for the first time and you're out with your buddy right in the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
And the first dragon comes over and then you have to go down into a river run or Riverwood or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you go talk to the guy. If you never go to Riverwood and just go on doing whatever you want to do, there's still quests and everything, but it never triggers the spawning of the dragons. So if you just don't go there, don't do that initial main quest storyline. You can do all the factions and everything else. And level up, and there's no dragons in the game.
They just show up
and just walk right through stuff.
No dragons.
I can imagine how that works in the story. It's like this nobody over here is going to help out our new clan. Actually,
yeah, he's never the,
we know
he's
this
not
guy.
Even a
you know this guy? We know this guy.
He's not even a dragonborn. What are you talking about?
What's a dragon?
Wait, he's a dragonborn?
You go through, you're like, you go, because there's a lot of people who will tell you, oh, dragonborn, you're here to help me. Like, help me with this quest. You're just like, who the hell is a dragonborn?
But that dialogue,
I didn't kill any
that
dragons.
That dialogue never takes place because you never triggered the main main right. storyline.
But you're known throughout the rest of frickin' Skyrim. You're
as the Dragonborn.
Yeah.
Without having killed a
dragon. I'm ready for the next Elder Scrolls game.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
it'll be awesome.
Yeah. Which means that I'll have to finish Skyrim at some point.
Again, what they need to do is combine all of them. Like all the lands, all of Tamriel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then co-op.
They can't because
I know they can. It's a huge game.
To do that in the manner that we know it, they would also have to combine all the timelines, and the timelines don't match up. There's
but
thousands of
movie,
years,
the
or there's
universe.
Hundreds of years. In
but yeah, it's all the
game.
Same universe, but
mm-hmm.
you can
right.
still combine all of the universes, like
right.
all of the maps and everything.
Well, see,
it's still
back,
the same
back
world.
To what started this train of thought is Destiny, right? I think Destiny's the future of what we consider to be gaming in that aspect, but I don't think Destiny quite got it right.
No.
The Destiny's good, and it's a great step in the right direction, but I believe the culmination of first-person shooter mixed with MMO on a console is going to be where games are going to be at. You look at Forza, the new Forza Horizon 2, racing game, not a first-person shooter. But, I mean, you can have a car club. You can say, hey, Miatas are the shit. I'm going to have a Miata car club, and we're going to go meet up every Friday night, and we're going to drive down this specific street with our car club.
So immediately, this game is suspect.
The street, the street with all the doctor's offices, right?
Yeah. But MMO's where it's at. We got consoles now that can handle it, whereas for the past decade, we've been really limited
yeah.
to computers for MMOs.
I'd really like to see a racing game. Utilize some of the mapping technology we have now, like
mm-hmm.
Google Maps. That would be awesome. How
it exists. It's called The Crew.
Oh, does it?
It's a shitty implication of it.
But it's the first
but
gen,
The know. Crew, you can legitimately race from coast to coast, and it takes like 6 hours to run the race. Real lifetime.
I would like to tear ass around Tucson and basically bust every speed van and not care. Every camera.
Okay.
You know, so.
I had a bad day driving home today. I want a virtual Tucson. Let me get into it.
Like when they, yeah, exactly. I've been driving around Tucson all day. Now I'm going to go like 80 miles an hour, you know, 180 miles an hour down through Broadway and just...
And this time when 12 cops chase you, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. So we'll have 4 stars. You know,
yeah,
so
4 stars.
Slightly different.
I
but
love
talking
GTA
about, 5. Talking oh about the future of gaming and everything else. Have y'all seen Google Cardboard?
No, what?
What?
Hmm.
No? Okay. So, you go to the internet and Google Cardboard. I'm not saying Google Cardboard. It's called
Hold
Google
on,
Cardboard.
I'm really Google Cardboard.
It
right
is
now.
A VR headset that you make out of cardboard for like $20. You drop your phone in it and put it on your
oh,
head.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's
oh.
a,
yes. Yes, I saw that. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
It's really cool. I've played with it. Like, we had it at work, and they had a roller coaster simulation, and we would get people to come into the office and put it on and turn it on, and they had a hard time standing still. It's really cool.
I almost didn't take it seriously at first because it looks so ridiculous. I thought it was a joke.
It's cool. It works well. It works well. And there's YouTube videos. So you go on YouTube, and they're set up in the little split-screen VR setup where it's 2 screens side by side, and you can just watch YouTube in 3D. I was impressed with it.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. I'm going to have to look at it now because I didn't take it seriously last time.
Look, it'll be the most entertaining 20... Well, I can't say the most entertaining 20 bucks you ever spent, but it's pretty entertaining for 20 bucks.
I bought a 10 million candlewatt flashlight for $10. That was pretty entertaining. Like, you're going to have, like, you could be standing, like, 500 feet away and you can feel the warmth of the bulb.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing to me is nowadays you can go on Amazon or anywhere on the internet and buy something your friends have never even heard of. Like, I mean, it's not just for buying stuff, but you can absolutely just pick something up. And like when I was deployed, I picked up a USB-powered Nerf sand missile set that you could control with your mouse and shoot
oh,
off in the office.
Great.
So we had an office warfare. But I was the first one to buy it because I was just jerking around on Amazon. And, you know, and so like my coworkers come in from doing something one day and you know, they were like, oh, we got to wait 2 weeks for that to get here to Kuwait, you know, so.
They walk in the door.
Exactly. Beep. And it has a camera on it. It has a camera on the end of the CMS thing. So you literally, on your laptop, can see the guy's oh shit face when you launch a Nerf missile. So it's like, it's, you know, that's what's so cool.
I haven't made that purchase yet. I started the arms race with Nerf guns at our office, but none of us have dived into buying USB-powered.
But have you started modifying Nerf guns yet?
I have not. I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, man. Go get you a Nerf Rapid Strike, right? Uh-huh. It's like a shotgun with a big drum on the bottom of it. Get you you'd have to measure the diameter, but you can get you a copper pipe and a file, and just file it down to where it's teeth, like a saw bit. Put it in a drill, and just take all the air restrictors out of it. And that son of a bitch, will shoot 50 feet, and when it hits you, it hurts.
Okay.
So my brother had one of the Nerf rockets.
Mm-hmm.
So you thought about shooting 50 feet and hurting, man. It's freaking rockets, man. They sit there. One time, me and my brother, like, he had a bunch of friends over and everything, and we had, like, this big, giant Nerf war. And he had the rocket. I'm sitting there going around. It was a bunch of, like, my brother and his friends versus me because I was older and everything. And I had, like, the little pistol. I go around the corner. I shoot one kid. And all of a sudden, I see my brother sit there with the rocket. Like, put it down. Launch the rocket and aim straight for my nuts, dude.
Boom.
Blast
Boom.
It.
With the rocket just down. Yeah, I like to remember stories.
I was at Little Rock Air Force Base before I came here. Or actually, two bases ago, I was in Little Rock. And I had the pleasure of working with a guy named Dan Alford, civilian. One of the coolest guys I ever worked for. But in the office, we had this thing where it was always who had the baddest ass Nerf gun in their desk drawer. And it was just random. You may walk in, we had bouncy. Every time we went out to eat as a shop, we would buy like another 25-cent bouncy balls. And the rule was you could hit anybody anywhere with a bouncy ball. But it had to bounce before it hit them, right? You couldn't just throw it straight at them. So it would always start off, you walk in the door, it's had a long day, and you just get clocked in the nuts. Somebody was waiting on you with a bouncy ball. And then you'd run around, and you'd go to your drawer, and of course you got a drawer full of bouncy balls, and then it's just bouncy balls going everywhere. And we were in a Peewick shop, so personal wireless communications, we managed cell phones and stuff like that. So we had all these little things that vendors would give us. One of them was a box of stars, foam stars from Sprint, and they were all labeled Sprint. And of course, they were like ninja stars, right? So then it would be the bouncy balls and the ninja stars and the Nerf guns, and somebody would be like, mixed media, and then it was everything. And it was just war in the shop. And it was inevitable. Every time you broke that crap out, somebody of importance would walk in, whether it was the shirt or the chief or whatever. Just walk into the office and be like, what the hell? And you start picking everything up.
Okay.
Dan always wanted to get the Rhino, the D-cell batteries with the full auto and the bipod on the front where he can just set it on his desk.
Go through a whole chain, yeah.
Are these supposed to be for little kids again?
What?
Are Nerf guns supposed to be for little kids or for us in offices?
Well, I'm telling you, you can modify these Nerf guns to where they're impressive.
Yeah.
We were a bunch of adults playing with Nerf guns, and it was a great tension release. We had a lot of fun. I miss those guys.
Good times. Oh, I was going to ask you. Who did you see at Best Buy the other day?
Ed Helms.
You saw he. What was he doing?
The guy from Hangover. The guy who got the face tattoo in the Hangover.
I'm really glad you pointed that out.
Yeah,
The Office.
Yeah, Andy from The Office. He was in the store the other day. He was just visiting family.
Is he from around this area? I had no idea.
No, he's actually not from around this area. He just has some family here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you sell him a TV?
No. Just a portable Bluetooth speaker. That's all.
Oh, well, you sold him something.
Yeah.
What kind of speaker?
Huh?
I want to know what kind of Bluetooth speaker celebrities buy, okay?
It was a Sony.
He's trying to get me to buy a Sony one because my Bose...
Don't buy Sony. The Koreans don't like them.
So?
But it supports my friend. He has a job because of Sony, so...
Yeah, they got they're the highest rated Bluetooth speaker on CNET. So.
Okay.
Really?
Yep.
Have you heard a Klipsch Bluetooth speaker? Oh, you said CNET.
I know. Who cares about CNET? But a lot of customers care about CNET.
I didn't.
I mean, there's some good info there. I mean,
I thought there was. I thought that was a good source. Shows what I know.
Dude, CNET is so off. They really are.
Are they?
Yeah. They just don't test things properly. They sit there and go like, oh, we're gonna
plays music.
I know it sounds really good. Really,
for the technology layman, like your grandmother or something like that, like she goes on CNET, she can see, all right, here's a list of 10 items that I can choose from, you know, where as opposed to being just lost in the sea of available technology nowadays. So
yeah,
the thing is though, on CNET they rate Vizio as the highest rated TV.
There ain't a damn thing wrong with a Vizio TV. I don't own it. I have a Samsung TV and I love my Samsung TV. But I'm absolutely impressed with Vizio TVs.
Vizio's, don't get me wrong, Vizio's nice. But when you look at terms of like build quality and quality, just overall
quality.
Who gives
a shit? Look at it in terms of what I can afford versus what I can get.
You get what you pay for.
So what?
Huh?
You know, you get a Vizio TV, it lasts 5 years. It's a
good
TV.
Or you get a Vizio TV that lasts 3 months before
it
dies.
Luckily, it's still covered by
dies.
Warranty if it dies
I know.
In 3 months, so it doesn't matter.
You can get either or. Really, Vizio is kind of hit or miss whether
see,
what you get.
This conversation we're having right now exists with every product.
It's true.
You know, I could argue that it's the same argument between a PC and a Mac. You know? You buy a $300, now I'm not talking about high-end PCs before I piss everybody off, but people that go to Walmart and buy a $300 Gateway, they're not Gateways anymore, but whatever the equivalent
Asus
is.
Asus now, right?
Yeah.
Asus? You get a $300 piece of shit PC, right?
Yeah.
And you expect that son of a bitch to last 5 years. It's not going to last 5 years. It's going to last $300 worth of time.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it works. You get a Mac, and Mac lasts you 10 years.
Yep.
You know, it would have cost you a whole lot more up front.
But we'll see, but, too.
And there are, and once again, before I piss Eddie off, there are PCs that will last as long as
I use
Macs
a Mac at work. We've talked about this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I use whatever is in front of me.
Eddie loves iPhones.
No, I don't.
See?
I mean, since iPhone 5, I've found them usable and friendly. Before then, I was just like.
By the way, didn't you betray Windows Phone?
Yes, I did. I have an Android.
He used to have this Windows Phone.
You know what did it for me?
It was just all about the Windows Phone.
I miss it still. The Android that I have, I have a Samsung Android phone.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know. has not done a whole lot to make me miss my Windows Phone. I mean, not miss my Windows Phone. I do miss my Windows Phone. The thing I had to switch for, they ended up being like that one last straw. Was this new thing called If This Then That?
Yeah.
I can't do that on a Windows phone.
Nope.
And I like all the little stuff you can do with that. So
the hell is If This Then That? What are you talking about?
So it's literally if blank then blank. So you can program your phone to say if, like, say you want to wake up on like a Tuesday, you want to set your alarm for Tuesday.
I know
Tuesday.
What an if then statement is. I get it. I mean, I've used Excel before.
But you can do that for all of your applications in the phone and everything. So long
as they're programmed by this if this then that header thing. It's like an app. It's an app. A web app and a phone app. And it controls based on what's been programmed. It will dive into your programs and go, if this program does this, then this program will do that. So if it's 3 o'clock, turn on my Wi-Fi. If I'm in my home Wi-Fi, tell me, hey, welcome home, or just a lot of little things like that. I use calendar apps for it. I use it to scour Reddit for me, so it'll tell me your Reddit posts.
If my wife gets home, notify me.
It's almost that good. I don't know.
Still because the iPhone does that out of the box.
No. I'm just this is one of those things that's trying to copycat that. The only thing I don't know if
how you call it copycat.
It is.
It always is. But
so
that's
that
one of the things. That's open source.
It can
versus
be, I think. There's some things that can be. Oh. It's very customizable. I'm still trying to learn a lot about it. And I
translate it. I'm trying to figure out how to program this phone to do what I want to do because I don't want to buy this phone that already does it.
So
Nothing. I love it.
I'm happy with what I have. Okay. So what kind of phone do you
have, Josh? I have the HTC.
Oh, yeah, the HTC.
Yeah. Okay. I have an HTC.
I was
one.
A huge M8. HTC fan.
I like it. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I had them back. I had HTC as early back as the 2125. I still have it in a drawer in there, actually. Yeah. If anybody knows what that is. 2125 upgraded to the 3125, to the 8125, to the Touch Pro, to the Tilt, to the Tilt 2. I had all of those phones. This is prior to iPhone. And I had the HTC Tilt, which was the 8125. And I asked for the Tilt 2 for Christmas one year. And my dad got me a damn iPhone. For Christmas.
And you know,
I was so pissed. Now I was an XDA developer's fanatic at this point. I mean, I was custom ROMs all the way, you know, just absolute full control of my phone. And I wanted the Tilt 2 because it was the new kid on the block. And my dad got me an iPhone. I said, I was so pissed. I was mad. I said, why'd you give me an iPhone? I don't want this crap. I don't want this Apple junk. I want a Tilt 2. He said, you got 30 days. I can exchange it for whatever you want. You use it, and at the end of 30 days, if you want to exchange it, I'll exchange it. I'll be damned. I've been on iPhone ever since. I won't ever go back.
Well, I think back in that day, there was still a lot more kind of restrictive policy with Apple. You know, like there was
definitely a lot more. Yeah.
They're a lot more accommodating for your media.
This wasn't an iPhone 2G. I mean, this was a 3G. So I mean, it was once the App Store came to life, you know. If he would have got me right out of the gate with the original iPhone, it would have never happened. But when the App Store came to life with the iPhone, it really changed the world. Apple really changed the world when it came to mobile computing. When it came to, because take a comparable device that was which is Windows Mobile, which is what I was running at the time on all the HTC devices. I mean, you're looking at $500-$600 for a phone, and Apple said, "Hey, here's this phone that does all this for $200."
Yeah,
and
with contract,
it doesn't. All of it was with contract. The $600 I was talking about was on contract too.
Yeah,
you know, so. Where Apple came in and changed everything, whether you have an Android phone or a Windows Mobile phone or whatever, Apple changed the game by saying, hey, we're going to give you a quality product for this price. And in the past decade, they haven't changed the price of their lowest-end iPhone yet. You know, they've gone up, they've created some higher tiers, but $200 still gets you an iPhone. And in a lot of cases, free. Signing a contract will get you an iPhone if you're willing to go back a year. You know, and where they changed everything is because everybody else had to compete. So now everybody can get a smartphone regardless of what you want for $200 or less. You know, you couldn't do that before Apple. Now that doesn't mean go out and buy an Apple phone. That's not what I'm saying. But they changed the market.
But for in terms of you know, personal devices like iPods and stuff like that, they set the tone. I mean, look at all the stuff that's gone up against the iPod leading up to phones taking over MP3 and stuff like that.
Oh, let's talk about Zoom for a second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so.
That's not. That's not.
Zoom was great.
They were
still
great.
Eddie misses his Zoom.
I miss it so much.
I still have a Gen 2 Nano that I've had for 8 years now. Yeah, that, and it just won't die. If they're good products, is what I'm saying.
Think about that, though. When you really go back and think about that, it's basically a little bitty flash drive in an iPod, right? But you go back to then, and people say Apple's not cutting edge anymore. Go back to when that second gen Nano came out, and look at the size of that Nano that you
had that
in,
disk drive, oh
right?
Gosh,
yep. You know, you can't do that back then. They were doing things that were impossible. Not so much anymore. They're kind of on par with everybody else now.
I mean, credit where it's due. They helped us get there.
Sure. Sure. And that's been my argument all along is nobody, for the longest time, Microsoft was King Turd on Ship Mountain, right? You know, but as it came along, Apple's really... really?
Sorry, that was a pretty good, analogy.
I looked over at Josh and I was like, "Yep, we're gonna laugh about this."
Microsoft.
This is the part where we laugh. Ready? Yeah. Ready?
No, this is the part where we throw our heads back
and laugh. Oh, dang! I got the quote wrong.
Microsoft took us a long way, but Apple's been pushing us for the past decade.
Sure.
I don't like to get involved in a lot of the fanboy kind of hoopla. I don't really care. Whatever company makes whatever thing that I like
is kind of where I'm at. Exactly. So. It's just, but I agree. Oh, this is something that I can use. All right.
It's what I relate to.
I tell people know I love having the conversation, so people prod me about it all the time, and they like to hear me argue back and forth. But in the end, my argument still stands of, you do what you do on your devices. Get the device that does what you do the best. For me, an iPhone is the best phone on the market. For me, a Mac is the best computer on the market. For me. That doesn't mean it is for you or you or you. You know, that's, if you need a $300 Emerson PC, then hey, your McAfee's expiring.
No, it's... You know what this is? No. You know what this
update
is?
Update your antivirus.
No.
Stop hacking software.
No, it's different. This is an antivirus software I had to get when I went to Mexico at a mine in Mexico because they refused to let me use my computer on their site without this particular antivirus software. And I've just been way too lazy to uninstall it once I got home.
So it's that's a McAfee, right?
No. It's something I've never heard of. It's called Greatest Web... I don't know.
Greatest?
Yeah, that's what they used on the site. And I had to comply in order to use my stuff on the site. And I've just been too lazy to take it off because I don't
How
care.
Awesome is
called
that?
Malware.
Yeah.
No.
You
gotta run malware.
It is sort of malware, but it's
probably taking our
sort of
right
sort
now,
of malware.
Maybe, but
it's sort
it
of
knows your names.
But I don't do anything important. Just record our podcast on here, so it's okay.
Oh man, it has my name.
And that's what a PC is good for, my friends.
I don't know.
Accessing information that's not yours.
If you want to do anything other than record podcasts, get a Mac.
So. I have a
record a podcast, which started out on the Mac.
I noticed the idiocracy in that.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, what kind of laptops you fellas have?
Got the Surface right in front of me, and I got a Mac I use for work.
So, no matter what happens, like if we talk about it, it doesn't matter what we're talking about: video games, consoles. Guns, cars, whatever.
Women.
If we throw something out, that's like an instant Luke instigator right there. It's like if you throw something out like that, Luke is going to be.
Oh, you're
like,
getting
an
opinion.
Nah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about,
you know? So my laptop I bought from a pawn shop for $100. It was an HP piece of shit laptop. It's got the i7 on it, you know. The 750 GB hard drive.
Good investment.
I got
for $300. What?
Yeah. It started off. Yeah, $100. I started off with 8 gigs of RAM. I put an 8 gig stick in there, so it was like 12. Now it has 12 gigs of RAM.
That would be 16, brother.
Oh.
8 plus 8.
No. It started off with 8, so I removed one of the 4 gig sticks.
Oh, I thought you said you added another 8 gig.
Well,
stick.
No. But no. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Maybe
see, I'm from Mississippi.
Way.
I get excited when I can do math.
Plus one is five.
Wait, I know this. Wait, I don't know this.
But no, I put it. It was because first off, people in Georgia don't understand prices of things, so they're just like, $100. That's good, you know.
It means he paid $50. Because,
right? Or he's had for a couple years.
But, or they just people they don't care. The computer was riddled with viruses, so they're trying to figure out at the shop, like, how do I do this? Or they don't know how to fix computers at the pawn shop. So I take it,
imagine
I just
that.
System restore, and that was it. Factory reset.
That's a steal right there for $100.
$100.
Yeah. But see, you don't get no judgment from me because I would have bought that computer. I'm
exactly.
A Mac guy. I would have bought
$100
that
for a that computer. Exactly.
I drive a Dodge Neon. A 2003 Dodge Neon that I paid $1,500 for. Why? Because it was a good freaking deal.
$1,500.
You got to know a good deal when
you drive a Honda Accord.
I have a Tahoe as well. I mean, yeah. It gets me where I need to go. If I want to ride in style, I get in the Tahoe. If I want to drive to work, I get in the Neon. Yeah. And people, why do you have such a shitty car? Because it was cheap.
Exactly. Well, people do that all the time. They tell me, like, because I have a Honda Accord. So people tell me, like, hey, you know what? Why don't you do, like, you know, this, and this. I add a, you know, spoiler to it or one of those stupid carbon roofs that. I'm just like, dude, it's a car. It has 190,000 miles. You know, the carbon fiber hood.
Hood, okay.
That's what I meant. Yeah. But it's like it's got 190.
That you said roof.
Roof?
Carbon.
Is it a roof or a roof?
What was the other word?
You said it both ways.
Oh, okay.
What was the other word I told you say weird the other day? Or you asked me. Do I say this weird?
I don't remember.
We had this conversation. Never, keep going. Orange. There was a word. Was it that? Yeah.
Orange?
Yeah.
Do I say orange weird?
Orange?
Yeah, orange.
Orange?
Yeah,
I'm trying to mimic you. Orange?
Sorry.
Okay, wait.
I don't think it's that weird.
How long can we keep this?
Orange.
Orange?
I say orange.
Orange?
Orange?
You sound like you said orange.
Orange.
What? No, orange.
I don't know.
Okay.
Wait. Is that the color or the fruit?
Both.
Does it matter?
I don't know.
Is it the fruit? No, the fruit is orange, and the color is orange.
What color is the orange?
I used to date a girl that when she said fire, she said fire. And it, like I always felt like I was about to be executed. Like, every, you know, but like it was such a sticking point. Like, she legitimately got pissed at me because every time she said, "Yeah, let's," you know, "they're gonna have a bonfire," you know, or something like that, and I'd be like, "Fire!" You know, like. It was
fire,
yeah.
Fire,
we couldn't even say the word fire together without there being an incident, you know. So, but like, yeah, it goes to show you. It's a little thing.
So Trish gets pissed off at me all the time, and I think it's just the Mississippiism in me. The how do you say FOIL?
Foil.
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 Foil. There you go. And you put what in a car?
Oil.
Oil.
Oil. Right. So Trish gets so mad. Oh.
You put oil. You put oil in the van.
No, that's a van.
Van.
I'm from Mississippi, and what you just said is way more redneck than what I say.
Texas. That's where my accent comes from.
What would you say if, like, it was like, you know, ye ol' whatever. Ye ol' yule time carol or whatever.
Ye ol' yule time carol?
Yeah, like if oil is
I wouldn't
old,
say it at all.
If is it, then what would oil be?
Oil.
Say it again. Or say oil and then say old.
Oil. Oil.
Yeah, there's a yeah, there is an it in there somewhere.
Okay. I'm just checking.
The funny thing is what this came up with is we me and Trish were cooking in the kitchen together. And I said, "You need to boil some water." she said,
"You want me to bowl it?"
We had not been together this long at this time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I said, "You need to bowl some water," and she just looked at me, and I looked at her, and I was like, "Put water in the pot,"
you know,
and turned on. And she said, water. "Oh, boil." And I said, "Yeah, boil." Pull the water. And that was the first time I realized I had an issue. And since then, I've tried to turn it off for the most part. Being in the military, you know, you kind of have to.
You gotta,
we
you
all kind of have
unique.
The same accent now.
Unique makes you stand out.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You got to be the same. Or else you do push-ups or something. I don't know.
So as
I can't relate to that part.
As the Merovingian says, I have drank too much and now I must peace.
Oh, well, do that. Okay.
Did anybody get my Matrix reference there?
Yes. I have drank too little. I need to get more.
Well, don't, like, break stuff as you get up. Jeez. You okay, Josh?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You okay? You sure?
Hold on. I'm fine.
Okay, good.
So we cleared the room here, Ed.
I know.
Going on,
well, I wasn't asked if you guys have seen the interview yet.
I actually watched half of it today.
You did?
I did,
yeah. I wasn't able to download it yesterday because of whatever was being hacked.
So I put, I was watching it on my phone. I got Google Play from my phone and rented it. And it's everything you would expect a Seth Rogen, James Franco movie to be.
That's what I would have thought.
So I'm only to the point, and it's glorious. You know, I mean, it's absolutely hilarious.
If you like Seth Rogen and James Franco comedies.
You'll love this movie, okay. Of course, yeah. So, but
is it going to win an Oscar this year?
Yeah. No, it cleared $100 million at the box office.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
That's good for them. Is it spent like 44?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. It's the best PR campaign since...
it's the best thing that ever happened. Ever. It's like Citizen Kane. Like, the minute they banned it, it was... infamy will live forever.
You I can't watch it. You can't tell me not to
you
watch
can't
it.
Tell, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to watch it.
That's what's so awesome about this
what
movie.
What the
I
Americans
think.
Do.
America.
Yeah, we can't light ourselves up. We'll light ourselves on fire if we want to. Yeah.
Watch us
yeah.
all.
You can't tell me.
But
that's one of the cool things about this movie, I think, is that it's unifying people for completely polar opposite reasons across the aisle politically, you know. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there was Obama saying, you go watch the movie, and there was the guy who ran against him to watch the movie. I forgot his name already, just looking. Mom Jeans.
Yeah, yeah.
Long Jeans? Is that your word for what's his name?
I know, I just can't remember his name right now. He's not the president, so I don't remember
his name. It's the Mormon.
Oh. Romney, yeah.
Romney.
Both of them were telling us to go watch a movie. They agreed on something. But that's how it was, right? That. Now the question
Obama
is...
Obama quickly reversed his stance as soon as Mitt Romney started agreeing on it.
Exactly. So
don't forget, all of that hatred and non-unification was Obama. Just saying.
But we're okay.
We can divert this conversation into a non-presidential direction. Yeah.
Seeing as he is our boss, you know. Yeah.
That's not my question. Right, my question is that, so what are the chances this was... Is there still any doubt whether this was real or not, or is this some big publicity stunt?
What's that?
That this happened at all? This whole negative, Sony takes the movies out, the hacks?
I think it happened. You know what? It's weird. Like, when you go on social media, it runs the gambit. I had a buddy of mine from Japan basically get on Facebook and say, thank you, hackers, for making them put this out on Google Play, because you've officially brought something straight from development right into my house without having to go out to the theaters and pay top dollar.
Yeah, this was a win for VOD.
Exactly. So, and the other end of that is people who are decrying Sony for being anti-American and not, you know, taking what is made, what I consider to be a responsible stance on the matter. If so, people say, hey, we're going to bomb theaters if you put this in the theaters, which is probably horseshit, but you know, better safe than sorry, right? You know, so I think that, you know, with that and I totally lost my train of thought. So
you're saying maybe not fake. This is all real. This all happened.
I think the Lizard Squad is the one taking responsibility for this. So
no, Lizard Squad was yesterday's stuff.
Guardians of Peace. So whether or not a hacktivist group could pose as a government is an interesting question when we take into. I think Sony's security is so horrible. There's no question it's hacked.
Yes. All right.
Because this isn't. I mean, look at this. The DDoS from Christmas Day from Lizard Squad, right? Mm-hmm. And this is just this year. You know, the emails for where they were talking shit about Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie, and then
they talked about Marvel stuff too, didn't it?
And 5 or 6 years ago, everybody's account information got leaked by Sony too on the PSN network. So I mean, mm-hmm. This isn't just something that, you know, I think that
it's a yearly
they're
tradition.
Staging. It's like, and you know, people are decrying Sony for getting involved in stuff outside of technology, and for the reason that this has happened, and you know, like another reason, you know, maybe Samsung is kind of creeping up as a leader in technology and something that's just where Sony used to be back in the day in the early 2000s. So people are saying they should have never gotten involved in Hollywood because none of this shit would have happened. Sony would put out great devices and stuff like that and we would all be happy. Who's to say right or wrong? But I think it's a legitimate hack. Whether or not it was us or it was the U.S. government or a hacktivist group that came down and took down North Korea's network is...
Oh, yeah, that was that, too.
A subject for much debate in my mind, anyway, you know, so... But, I think it's awesome that Sony put it out anyway. I think they had no choice because if they didn't put it out, there would be people with pitchforks and torches at their door anyway, you know? And there's a lot of interesting whether Sony is an American company or not at this point.
Ever been an American company?
No, first and foremost.
They are in the instance of Hollywood and their production company. They are.
Well, they're a financial backer.
Sony Productions is, by all
they own
American.
Columbia Studios.
So
Columbia Picture Studios is Sony. That's it. But as far as what Sony isn't an American company. They're a Japanese company. Like Samsung is a Korean company. You know, it's and it kind of makes sense the way they do things with their advertising and stuff like that. But one of the reasons why Sony took the stance that they did, because the hacking, whatever it was, whoever did the hacking, it was a legitimate hack because of the stance that Sony took. Sony didn't take the stance of, we're going to pull a movie out of the theaters because the theaters were getting hacked. The theaters were getting threatened with bomb threats. Not only that, Sony was getting threatened themselves.
What?
And a lot of the Sony, like the major company, all the CEOs and all that stuff, they're in Japan, which is within Korea's strike zone.
Japan is waiting for that, though.
Yeah.
They must blow... 20 Korean smugglers out of the water every year.
That's the reason why they took the stance that they did, because they're not an American company. They're a Japanese company with an American division.
But obviously the production company is an American subsidiary. So I don't think that Sony, because I consider these hacks kind of in tune with the email hacks from the executives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sony doesn't let the executives' emails get hacked if it's not legitimate, just to drum up publicity, in my opinion. You know, so I don't think that, but I think that.
But if you think about it again,
secret messages. And I know it's your security number now.
Oh. Well, you might as well do my taxes now.
Well, no, also, if you think about it this way, it's because Sony is a Japanese company, and if you think about the way the Japanese people are, they're very reserved. They're not going to sit here and do a huge publicity stunt by hacking and stuff.
They don't
like
have
that.
Their version of America?
They don't do that.
Pan.
No, they don't
Pan.
Do that.
I don't know how that
That's just
works.
Something they don't do. That's why you hardly see, like, advertisements for Sony or things that you have, like, other than
the products.
The products.
Themselves,
yeah.
No, I agree. I think it's completely legitimate. And the idea that I think both scenarios are entirely possible. It's entirely possible that a hacktivist group came in and did this and then did the other side of this just because why the hell not?
Yeah, internet.
And it's entirely possible that there were two government entities.
Are
you telling me seriously that we can't at this point legitimately kind of postulate that there aren't members in both North Korea's government and ours that wouldn't like to totally rip each other's throats out?
You're
going
to have to go back
them.
And explain the definition of postulate.
Postulate. To come up with a theory of. I'm sorry.
You used too big of a word. Okay?
I'm sorry. I'm only on my second drink, so just give me a minute. No.
You'll dumb down to my level?
I agree. Not at all, yeah. I came over here for Mac help, actually, last week, so... Luke has kind of straightened me out that way. I just think that it's sad that it came to kind of a violent level.
I think it's like bullshit. I think all of it's bullshit.
Really?
You think? Yeah.
After all this, you think?
Do you not think we pissed off some Germans when they made the movie Valkyrie? Or God knows how many World War II movies there are out there where we kicked Hitler's ass in the movies. And you think we didn't piss off a bunch of Germans? I think the political correctness of this country is the problem.
But we all went to see this movie, though.
Too much about what other people think. thing that this is horrible to say, but the thing that made Americans Americans for so long is that we were Americans and we could care less what you thought about us.
We just
canceled a multi-million-dollar movie.
Wow.
But it came back. And look, it came back.
It didn't
for what?
Come back.
It did.
It didn't come back.
It just made $100 million
in the box office. Yeah.
MVOD and whatever they did. Yeah. There was no stronger statement for that, for what you're just saying.
Go downtown Tucson and watch it in the theater.
Oh, well, which theater? Downtown? What?
Actually, The Loft is playing the
Yeah, The Loft is playing it.
This is The Loft. Tell me a major cinema that's playing it here.
I don't know. I didn't look it up. Because once I saw
it
on VOD,
it's making money
at
the box offices. So, I mean.
Yeah, but how much would it have made if we would just let it go?
There's people who probably say they would have made
less.
Well, I'm not going to look it up now. But they were talking about that for weeks. People were speculating, man, if it wasn't for this hype, I wonder if we would care. The people have been postulating that all week.
I know what the book.
Do I have to put a dollar in a jar now that I've used the word? But yeah, people have been talking about that two weeks since these hacks started. That wasn't happening.
To agree with you, Americans as a whole were getting soft. We're just getting too soft. And that's one of the things. That's why I'm disappointed that they didn't just screw movie theaters. We got people who carry guns to go into the movie theaters and protect the movie theaters, right? Something like that. I'm going on a tangent sometimes. You're giving me a look like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's called...
You're talking about manning the movie theaters.
It's called being a vigilante.
Being a vigilante, yes.
And unfortunately, Batman doesn't really exist.
If it did, that'd be great.
But it's something that has actually happened throughout the history of our country that's just happened. When things threaten us, there's been a lot of vigilanteism through our country, throughout our history.
We spent so many years going, we're Americans and we're going to be America.
I think this last couple days have proved that we still have that. I don't know what more proof do you need than that.
I disagree. I think the fact that it was even an issue to begin with disproves it.
It was an issue for who? Who was the one making an issue?
Our president was on television making statements about it.
But it was a corporate issue. Though.
Yes.
Yeah, but because here's the other thing.
Agreed. Which is more of a reason why President Obama should not be on television making a statement about it.
But that's more. But he's actually more to your point. That he's the one who said, go watch the movie.
From the point of decrying the North Korean involvement in this, supposedly, whether that's politics or not. But, I mean, what's amazing about this, you've had some major, major people who are left coming across the aisle and speaking to the point of, we're Americans and this is what we're going to do. Because it's messing with free expression. Clooney was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Super leftist.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, he's...
Yeah,
the prototypical Hollywood left, kind of guy,
and he was clearly saying, "Why are we watching this movie?"
He said this is setting a dangerous precedent because you're not just limiting the release of a movie. You're not just letting North Korea say what movies we're going to come out with. You're telling them they're effectively limiting content and what content will be covered. And this, I mean, you can make this argument again with the. With the whole thing that happened with the Koran and the whatever company in Europe,
my hands tasty.
Or whatever country's production company in Europe made that out again.
I don't even remember that one.
That comic book that happened.
Josh, stop talking to the dog.
My hands are tasty. No, you can't drink that.
She can, but I
don't care if she drinks it.
But yeah, he's a...
Dad, why is the dog walking funny?
I think it showed a really interesting take on executive versus talent and how they kind of it showed a real good look into the inner workings of corporate America, I think, too.
I'll agree with that. And maybe a lot of the problems I have with the entire situation is with the way that the media handled it and the way that the media blew it out of proportion and everything else. Because I guess in the end, looking at it, we as Americans did prevail, and we said we're still going to put it out. It's still going to happen. You can still watch it. So
we will prevail.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that side of the story exists. But to watch the media, to watch the news, you wouldn't even know that that side of the story existed.
But which side are you saying again? Or which side do you think was more prevalent? Because
about Americans basically saying we're Americans and we're going to do what we want to do.
Yeah, and that's what I heard. I haven't heard anything other than that. Well, other than from Sony themselves.
There's a great deal of sensationalism to err on the side of safety and stuff like that by the media, as there normally is with any incident in this country. So
actually, the problem I had with the media in the whole hacking thing was the fact that people were so ready to share this information that was obviously taken from illegal means. Months ago, when all those celebrity photos came out, people were like, oh my God, I can't people are watching this. I can't believe people are looking this up.
Let's show the pictures.
People were like, exactly. Just show the pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Yeah, and what happened here? So there's probably things in email that's way more private than even some pictures that you don't never want to share. You'll probably share a naked photo of yourself before some emails out there. And yet... these emails were shared, and no one thought, hey, maybe this is wrong. Maybe we shouldn't be sharing this stuff. This is kind of private stuff that we're sharing. Just put it out and then use me anyway.
At least now we know all of the celebrities' aliases and stuff that they go by thanks to Korea, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's elevated us into a whole new
plateau. Some of those were really silly. Did you see those aliases?
No, what?
No,
we can't do that. That's what they want. It's private stuff.
Pull it up. We're American. Let's do this.
Some of them were hilarious. Right, they were stupid.
We're American. Let's do this.
Screw them.
Screw privacy.
It'll take me a second.
You can't do that without saying America.
America.
All right. America, yeah. Okay, now it's okay.
I feel like you got to sing America's theme song.
America. Fuck yeah.
Really? Nobody? That
was another thing they brought up. Like they didn't go after the South Park guys at all. Like yeah, back in the day. And that was more offensive than what I feel kinda is from what I've seen of the interview. I only watched about half of it.
It's because everybody expects it from those guys.
Oh yeah.
They just expect it.
So here are some of the aliases revealed publicly by the documents released in the hack. Tom Hanks goes by Harry Lauder. And Johnny Madrid, the former of which was the name of a famous Scottish comedian. Sarah Michelle Gellar goes by Neely O'Hara. Toby Maguire goes by Neil Deep.
Sorry.
Thank you. I was waiting. Like, give me a good name here.
Are these online handles or are these just like...
No, they do business under these names.
Oh, like hotels and shit?
Natalie
Portman goes by Laura Brown. Clive Owen goes by Robert Fenton. Robert Schneider goes by Not So Good.
I heard that one.
Tay Diggs goes by Scott Diggs, which is his real name. Jude Law goes by Mr. Perry. Daniel Craig goes by Olwen, Olwen Williams, an homage to his grandfather. Jessica Alba goes by, get this, Cash Money.
Oh, I did hear that one too.
Cash Money.
You know, you got to appreciate that they get creative sometimes, or just get silly.
Ice Cube goes by Darius Stone and O'Shea Jackson, the former of which was his character's name in XXX State of the Union.
That's awesome.
Deborah Messing goes by Ava Harper. And that's it.
See, that'd be funny to find out. Like
we know that now.
Terry Crews goes by his the name from Idiocracy. Because he was president, like Camacho. I can't remember the full name because it was ridiculous. President Camacho.
Such a great movie.
That is a great movie.
It's a great movie.
I think Terry Crews is awesome.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
mean, if you're that, I mean, you are the prototypical alpha male physique type guy, and you can take yourself that unseriously. That's awesome.
His character in Expendables is absolutely amazing.
I like him in White Chicks.
What? Yeah, he's good there too.
Awesome. Good.
But his character in Expendables is the best. It is the epitome of him.
It sure is.
Yeah, I don't know him in real life, obviously. But I touched you. I don't know him in real life, obviously. But
it's sexual.
If
Wearing the doll.
If I were to have to imagine Terry Crews in real life, I would imagine him as the expendable Terry Crews.
Yeah. Not the Old Spice?
Not the Old Spice Terry Crews?
Not the Old Spice Terry Crews.
I like all his characters. Yeah. Everything he's been
in. No, President Camacho, I think, is my favorite version of Terry Crews.
He was such an idiot.
He's so great, though.
Such an idiot.
That whole movie, everybody was an idiot, though. Except for Luke Wilson, it was kind of average.
My plants aren't growing. We're feeding them Gatorade.
It was Brando, the thirst mutilator.
It was electrolytes.
Yeah, no. It's got electrolytes. It's what plants crave.
What, Brando?
Do you even know what electrolytes are? It's what plants crave.
Anyway. Well, believe it or not, guys, we're well over an hour on this podcast already.
Well, that doesn't mean we need to stop.
No. No, I'm just saying, just letting you know where we're at.
Where are we at on topics? So as far as I know, we've covered the Christmas Sony thing.
The interview covered.
Well, no, I wanted to talk. I almost wanted to talk about Phoenix Comic Con, but it was just me.
Phoenix Comic Con?
And David. Yeah, I went to
Phoenix
Comic-Con.
Come on, talk about it.
It was fun.
What did you do?
You know what? It took almost all my time just to get the interviews.
Did you go to the secret stripper panel?
No, I wish I did.
What? There's no secret stripper panel.
He's just making it up.
What am I doing?
Although, and I'm not regulating this or saying you should do it or approving this at all. But some of the cosplayers, I wouldn't mind. There's some.
What would you go as? If you were going to go cosplay, what would you go as?
Oh, I don't know. I usually go pretty cheap, and I go as a Scott Pilgrim character. But that's all I've ever really cosplay.
Which one, Eddie, for our audience at home?
Gideon
thank
Graves.
You.
Evil X number 7. Because I relate to him the most.
Luke, what would you go as?
To a Comic-Con?
Well, if someone pointed a gun to your head and said, you will cosplay or I'll blow your brains out. What would you? What character out of all of comic book?
No pressure, Luke.
Shit, I don't know. I have to go as the Flash.
That's a good one.
That's a pretty good choice.
To go as the
it's
Flash.
A good choice.
Have you been watching the CW show?
I have. Yeah, I've seen.
Amazing.
It.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
How about you, Heffley?
Juggernaut.
That's awesome. That's such a good answer.
I like how you had it quick too. Instantly. Not like me and Luke were like. Because I've already done Gideon. I don't know what I would be after now. I'd have to.
He has experienced this thought process before.
Yeah, no, I have. I've thought about it.
Well, every time I go to these cons and I look at everyone pulling off the cosplay, I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. But I can't make it that good. I just start getting self-doubting once I watch everyone's costumes. And then there's always like a million Deadpools.
Well, you got.
Oh, I know, right?
But I like it. I think it's great to see a million Deadpools.
I think he's one of the most awesome comic book characters. Like, you just can't really get better than that.
Hey,
I mean,
but Batman kicked his ass.
That's bullshit.
When?
Batman kicked his
ass. What screw attack episode did that happen?
Deadpool 1.
Please tell me you have watched Superpowered Beatdowns.
No, I usually watch Screw Attack. Anything Screw Attack channel.
You need to watch Superpowered Beatdowns.
I mean, I can believe it. Deadpool probably would lose to Batman. I don't disagree with
that.
Batman is the world's
greatest
detective.
Batman did not kill Deadpool.
Of course. But he probably wouldn't win in the fight.
Is this going to be the part of the episode where, like last time, we have to play a video while we're watching?
No, we're not. We're not doing that again. That was fun that one time. Never again. We watched
Haloid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, the podcast. It was horrible.
Okay. You don't know what this is?
I don't know what this is.
I didn't know what it was until last time.
You don't know
time
what Haloid is?
No.
We need to watch Haloid.
Later.
All right. Blow it up.
Not again.
Let's go. We're Americans. We do what we want. Let's go.
That's right. I do what I want to do.
Sally got to help, me to help him like with his coffee table.
Yeah.
You've never de-varnished a coffee table? That's what we need to do right now. So.
That's a good way to
I'm like the
exactly. You've never changed the spark plugs in a car.
You haven't do
that.
Yeah.
That's funny that
that's
you bring
not,
that up.
He's gonna, that's what we traded. I was like, I don't know. I have a outside that awesome LeSabre that you just passed, which is... was sold before I graduated high school. I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to take it up there and let them change out the spark plug wires and spark plugs.
Oh, that's easy.
Well, yeah. Anyone who knows anything about cars, you know, could probably do. But he's like, okay, well, you know.
You know how to put gas.
Yeah, exactly, you know. I can change out, you know, the basic things. And I've done some work on it, but I'm real kind of like, I like to have an extra set of hands and eyes whenever I do work on a car, because at the end of the day, if you don't get it back to working condition, you're stuck with a effed up car, you know, so...
Every time I've tried to fix a car, I've broken it worse.
That's why I have someone there, you know. So
I literally, one time I was trying to replace the brakes on one of my cars, and I broke the brake rotor.
How did you break the brake
rotor? I don't know. I was trying to pull it off the brake, and I think, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I tightened, I guess, too much, and it just cracked.
It's got to be torqued to a certain...
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I was trying to pull off the brake,
so the caliper. I think he actually is the juggernaut.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
I agree. You'll always be the juggernaut in my heart.
That's awesome. No, it's not. It's terrible. It costs like $600 to fix.
That's why I
Because
like
I couldn't pull out the whole axle.
He was bringing up a good point, though, because, like, we hang out a lot. And our wives get a little pissed every now and then. Well, you're going over there again, or you're doing this again.
Our wives never complain.
He brought up the conversation, yeah, because you're not married. But he brought up the topic of,
hear that, everybody?
You know, women don't understand that men trade favors. You know, like he was saying, I'm rebuilding a coffee table right now. I'm stripping it.
Really?
I'm
staking. Is that what men do? Heck, yeah. I think you owe me.
But see, like
a lot.
He needs spark plugs changed on his car, but he didn't know how to do it. And I need a table stripped and stained. So he comes over, he works on the table, I help him work on the spark plugs, and as men,
society,
we are even.
Yes.
We're even. Yes. And women don't understand that there's that trade of
it's a bartering of experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it is. Yeah, so.
This is why I usually have Kelsey in the podcast.
And she brings the cake
teacher
when
thing?
She brings cake when she comes to the podcast.
I brought the mullets.
Where?
In the car. I'll get them.
What?
From where?
You brought the mullets and you didn't even bother to bring them in?
You're an asshole.
Yeah,
they're
seriously.
For you guys.
Where are they?
Why aren't they in here right now in my
eaten.
Stomach?
I'm sorry. They will be eaten. They will be eaten by you three.
So I had my first tamale the other day. From Tucson Tamale, and Luke took me because he was like,
plug it in.
I should be seeing some money for that, probably.
You won't. You're going to have to wait for another 30 or 40 episodes before we even
see
that.
I just stole that line from another podcast.
But no, I had never had a tamale before, so like anything, I'm from the Midwest, so anything that's wrapped in a corn husk that isn't corn is kind of suspect, you know what I'm saying? So.
Stories.
So, but it was pretty good. So, like, I don't know how that rates on the tamale meter.
Tucson Tamale Company
is pretty good.
Is it pretty
good? I've heard they were pretty good. I haven't tried it myself though, so I can't.
That's because your mom makes
tamales.
Like,
yeah, I don't have to go
that's
anywhere.
That's what I'm asking. Christmas. It's like, from a guy who completely doesn't know, how does that rate on tamale?
I've been meaning to go to them and try their tamales to see how they compare. I mean, I really love my own mother's cooking.
You will never pay for a better tamale.
There you go.
I don't know if it's fair enough. I'll let you know once I try it. But
no,
I'm sure. That's
I don't know. I'm pretty sure if you go off of like Drexel.
I kid you not. We went to Hawaii for vacation like 3 years ago. Sure enough, in the random Kauai Island, there were someone selling tamales, and they were pretty excellent. They were like surprisingly excellent.
That's what Mexicans do.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just except like there are certain places that are a big void of good Mexican anything, and it's anywhere like 20 miles north of the border
or Mississippi.
Oh my gosh!
You keep talking about
Georgia. Oh my gosh!
Are you going to get tamales?
Yes. Awesome,
sweet.
Because
we have free reign of your podcast, and you're not here. I don't know what to say now.
I know, right? What do we talk about? Eddie's gone. We have no direction. No, the Mexican food in the South, horrible.
Well, it's Tex-Mex.
Horrible.
It's
not even Tex-Mex. It's something weird. It's like a hybrid of Tex-Mex and barbecue. Because they're just like, I guess it works like this. Like Georgia, you cannot get anything Mexican in Georgia without them putting like melted Velveeta cheese over everything. They call it cheese sauce. So whenever you order Mexican food out there, you have to say no cheese sauce because they will just smother everything and it's like an inch of freaking cheese sauce.
So I had amazing Mexican food in Biloxi, Mississippi.
What?
I had amazing, amazing. It wasn't, they had a tamale place.
Did they call it Mexican food or you call
did
it?
They have, from a, did from, they have green corn tamales?
What?
Green corn tamales.
I didn't go to the tamale place. I went to the more family style restaurant. But it was, having been to San Antonio and now to Arizona, it was, I mean, having Tex-Mex is has its own kind of charm.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Like but agreed. No, it was, and again, from speaking from a position of where I cannot authenticate any authentic Mexican food whatsoever, but it was pretty good. I mean, by my, it wasn't just half-assed or like you said, something that has been taken and kind of assimilated into Georgian or Mississippian culture. It tasted legitimate. They had a salsa bar, which I thought was amazing.
That's pretty good. See, it's like in Georgia, if you were gonna get any kind of Latino food or anything like that, you went Cuban. That was the only way to go because they're close to Cuba. They know what Cuban food should taste like. Yeah. Cuban.
But now you can go to Cuba.
Mexican food was horrible. Horrible. It was just awful over there. I mean, my dad went to a restaurant that was supposedly one of the best Mexican restaurants in the area. He took one bite of his food and he literally threw his plate.
His dad's really nice. Like, he's not the kind of guy that would do that, from my experience.
That's all you know.
So he's Mexican between he's always super nice to me. So.
Well, that's because it's nice. He's very nice.
I would not take your dad as the throw my plate at a restaurant type. That's something.
Are you serious? You've seen my dad. You know how he looks like.
I would literally probably dropkick a baby right now for a Cuban sandwich from an authentic Cuban sandwich. Having been to Tampa, I that was my first duty station was Tampa, and it was amazing.
Yeah, Cuban food is delicious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, especially when you get it, like, by Cuba, like, by, you know, and stuff like that. But when you go to, like, Georgia and say, I want Mexican food. When you go to, like,
obviously
when you go to, like, South Dakota or Illinois and you say, I want Mexican food. Chicago, I'm pretty sure they might have some good Mexican restaurants because it's Chicago.
I think you have to hunt a little more when it's not because you have families that immigrate to those areas.
But yes.
You have to hunt for something that's authentically family-owned, I think.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to open up a simple burrito shop in Georgia with Eddie. And just say, like, hey, let's make breakfast burritos. Put it by the college, by the Air Force base in the morning, and there you go. Boom.
Boom.
Breakfast burritos.
That's a living right there.
Because nobody has breakfast burritos in Georgia.
How could you live without breakfast burritos?
They just don't. They have cheese sauce.
I'll let you have it first. But we got forks, man.
Holy shit, man. Smell good.
Yeah, freaking tamales. They had the store bought tamales. My cousin calls them tamales because they don't deserve the name tamale.
Oh, I had tamales in the side of the road in Ensenada, Mexico. It was just out of the road.
You know
just
what I miss?
The road. So
you
good.
Know what I miss? That shrimp in Rocky Point.
Oh, that's so
the
good.
The coconut shrimp. Oh my goodness!
Oh man, we can talk about food forever. So,
oh seriously,
well, so
especially Mexican food.
Last thing to go over. So New Year's is coming. What are you guys gonna do? What's the New Year look like for you guys?
So I have a friend that is coming back. I spent about 10 years in Japan, and my wife is Japanese, and I have a buddy that just recently from here to Japan. He's coming back around this area for the holidays, so I'm going to probably hook up with him and maybe drag you with me somewhere.
What else are you doing
awesome.
For the New Year's, Casey?
Where were you stationed in Japan?
I was Kamazama. It was about 30 minutes from Tokyo.
Okay. He was...
Because I was actually born in Japan. I was born in Misawa.
Really?
Yeah.
This would explain our bias during the World War II question.
Exactly. Because we know the Japanese people.
Exactly.
Am I biased because the Germans sent secret messages to Mexico during World War II? Is that my bias?
They just sent messages. No,
I did live there for 3 months.
Because the Brazilians harbored a bunch of Germans.
So my last name is Stoiber by the
Harvard
mother tongue. So,
Harvard Nazis. Yeah, so.
I just got back from Brazil.
I'm still voting for Japan in that argument. So.
Well, I'll let you guys cover that on a different podcast.
No, yeah, it's just a whole podcast dedicated to arguing who would win in a fight during World War II, Germany or Japan.
I feel like that should be an episode of Deadliest Warriors. Or
that's an episode we definitely need Cooper in on because he's a history major.
I feel like that's something that's already been covered on the History Channel somehow.
I gotta find it.
Who knows? With all these new shows? Wait, who am I kidding? They don't cover history.
What, Vikings isn't real? What? I thought they had cameras back then.
Eddie, like, you need to get me more of these tamales.
You can come over and beg my mom. She'll probably give you some.
I know she would, but why don't you ever tell me when you're making the tamales anymore?
Because we made it just yesterday. And I just said, you look.
Why didn't you tell me?
24 hours later, you're getting the tamales.
I know, but why didn't you even tell me? I could have been there and helped you make some tamales. I would have had like a dozen or so.
Because you were working. Tell me you weren't working yesterday.
It was Christmas yesterday. Who was working?
My bad. Except well, you know what? I was playing Dragon Age.
Jack in the Box. I'm sorry if you work at Jack in the Box.
I was playing Dragon Age and I didn't want you there.
Hey, so just a second ago, we were talking about New Year's plans and everything else. The conversation to have is me and Casey's trip coming up.
Something you're doing next year?
You're doing a trip?
We're doing on the 4th, we're leaving to go back to Luke's father's property, which is a huge plot in Mississippi.
Yeah, I think you briefly mentioned this because it's going to affect your knighthood.
Yeah, it will affect my knighthood. That's correct. No, we're going back to Mississippi on a hunting trip. We're going to go basically kill everything that walks, crawls, or flies.
Not people, right?
No.
Okay.
Not people.
I feel like I needed to put that in there because you didn't clarify.
The other white meat.
The other white meat. By the way, the hot sauce that we're using right now is a gift from my dad.
Where does it come from?
Tucson
Tamale Company.
Yeah, boom.
It was written on the
plug it in, plug it in.
Well, they only had some
I remember
cash.
There used to be a hot sauce called Devil's Ass Hot Sauce.
It
tasted terrible. But oh my goodness, was it like the hottest hot sauce ever? You had to sign a waiver in order to buy it.
Well,
like,
you missed out by passing up on that hot sauce.
I can't have hot sauce anymore. Oh, I've already destroyed my stomach with hot sauce.
Yes, last time, I think you told me you have to take pills if you ever take hot sauce now.
What?
No. What were you taking those pills for before? A long time ago.
Milk?
Is that what it was? I think this was spicy. I don't know. Took pills or something.
Eddie, that was amazing.
I know. If my mom ever decides to finish a full episode of the podcast, she'll know that these were appreciated. Or if I tell her myself, which will probably come first.
You let your mom listen to this?
Yeah. I need to have subscribers somehow.
Don't forget, guys, subscribe to this.
Look at Better Leah.
This is quality.
Who's
right
more
here.
Qualified to
eating tamales.
Than your mom, anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Who wants to listen to this shit?
One day, hundreds of thousands of people.
Guys, you heard it here first. Who wants to listen to this shit? We're talking about food. How professional is this?
This is still worlds better than watching a video last time. So
hey, but this is humanity. I mean, this is who we really are.
This
human
is
experience.
Real life.
This has been a very good conversation. Thanks for having
me. No problem.
Thanks for recording it and putting it online.
I know. And one day we'll look back at this and go, "This is how we started."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
So this is kind of it. Like every time
we'll have that throwback episode where we randomly post this conversation again, be like,
"Oh no, never!"
You see how boring we were.
I would never do the extra work to make that happen. What did we just say? I don't edit this unless I absolutely have to. The half hour of work I put into this is already hurtful. Yeah. Especially next, because my New Year's thing is going to be starting my MBA program. So yeah, there goes going to go all my free time. So,
I would say something, but my mouth is full of tamale. Nom 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 nom.
Well, now food's taking over and kids are taking over. This could be a good time to sign off.
Could be.
Could be. Oh. But
last words?
Not. Let's keep it going.
Or last words?
Apple is the shit.
Money.
The interview is pretty awesome. I mean, the phrase.
Hold on, come here.
I wonder what he's looking at.
The phrase. Dick stank.
You know, if you whisper, was, they that, can't hear
I don't,
you.
That we heard it. Hold on, that was, you got to whisper.
Because there's children in the room.
You got to whisper into the mic.
Okay.
Not whisper at us.
Dick stink.
The phallic looking mic.
Yeah, so. That felt wrong. It did.
You gotta
congratulations.
It's got a big red tip.
You gotta caress it first.
Yeah.
No, I wonder if they hear me caressing
it's,
it.
It's turned on already. Thanks. But thankfully, you're the first one to say that on the podcast. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Hey, I stood on the shoulders of giants.
And I didn't. You know, so. And I didn't say GD once in this podcast. Not once. Yeah.
So here's a good closing conversation.
Uh-huh.
Y'all watch Ellen?
I hear clips.
Yeah, like on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
That
right.
is like probably one of the last things I would expect you to say.
I don't watch Ellen.
What's her book club?
I don't watch Ellen, but there's this woman. If you follow the little comical clips that come across Facebook and everything else, there's this woman named Gladys. Something
Knight?
She always has
not Gladys Knight.
She's from Texas, and she had an interview going on. Basically, she radioed into the Ellen show and said she needed to move a plant that was behind her because it made her look like alfalfa. So Ellen moved the plant and then called her back, right? And says, "Hey, we moved the plant," and there was this long, hilarious conversation that happened. But in the end. She said, "You know, Ellen, I love Jesus, but I drink a little." And it was the most comical statement I've ever heard a woman say in my life.
It sounds like she's in a confessional.
She was like 92 years old.
Like, "Father, I love Jesus."
Because Ellen was trying to talk her into coming to the show, like getting on an airplane and coming in to actually be on the show. And she says, "You know, Ellen, I love Jesus. But I drink a little."
And that was it.
That sounds like a conversation.
And then she said, what was it? She said, "Well, what can we do to get you on the show?" And she says, "You know, I really don't travel that much." She says, "These people these days, they'll pull you over just for drinking Listerine." So, I leave you with, "I love Jesus, but I drink a little."
Nice.
That's a great way to sign off. Adios, everybody.
See ya.
This has been a presentation of Front Row Geeks. Adios.